My big fat Greek mistake. Like, that's what we're going to call this. This was actually a story sent in by an HR besties listener. Okay, so they were working in a global organization, and they're in the U.S. In the U.S., CHRO, Chief Human Resources Officer, had a group of colleagues visiting from the Greek office, including the Greece, CHRO, some other colleagues. And so they wanted to host at a local bougie Greek restaurant. You know, they don't have enough food, so bring them to that inauthentic experience, fair enough. So the U.S. CHRO wanted to have other employees come and join this dinner. Well, nobody volunteered because the U.S. CHRO was misogynist, racist asshole, so nobody accepted. But this is in the story. So none of the HR staff like, no thank you to this dinner. So this CHRO says, I'm not going alone. So he calls a meeting with this person's boss, the DE&I director, and I. And the following is 100% the conversation that happened. CHRO, U.S. Can you pull a list of employees that have Greek last names? I want the Greek CHRO and their staff to feel at home and invite employees that are Greek, too.
Full stop.
So the DEI director and this person look at each other, and then the CHRO. Our listener said, I don't mean to answer your question with another question, but however, could you please define what a Greek name is? USCHRO. Well, I'd say anything that ends in kos, os, lous, you know, maybe Google Greek last names and see what comes up. DE&I director lady is dead quiet. Not in her head, though. Not in her head.
No, not in her head. She's like, holy shit.
This listener, God bless her. Mr. CHRO, respectfully, I don't feel comfortable doing that. It's subjective and makes broad assumptions. Me at the DEI director person. Perhaps you'd like to share your thoughts on this? She's trying to bring in the conversation. CHRO. Well, do we have a Greek employee resource group that can help?
Oh, my gosh.
DE&I director lady.
I'm glad they even know what the employee resource group is, though.
You know, like, that's a good HR. No, we don't have a Greek ERG. CHRO. Well, this wasn't helpful. I'll figure something out. And that's our story.
Man. That sounds about right.
Yep. I mean, tale as old as time, right?
Yeah. I think the most disappointing part of that story is that it's a CHRO and not a CEO.
Like, I know.
Of course. I know. What are you thinking?
Google Greek last names. So confirming, I do believe the statement that they were probably a racist, misogynist, ist, a lot of ists.
A lot of ist
last names with that CHRO.
They have all the isms.
And this is why we have the question of, like, what the?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
People be peopling. But you know what's funny is you may be sitting there like, oh, that didn't happen. Or, oh, that's not a common thing. What's funny is that I was with an organization and they were throwing a big training. And they brought in a bunch of employees from Asia. And they're like, well, let's plan the dinner. Hey, I want to take them to... This is one of the executive leaders, very high level HR. I want to, you know, really treat them to, you know, their food. And so let's take them to the best Chinese restaurant I know. You know where they took them?
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's. P.F. Chang's. And all the Asians at the table were like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, my God. It's
sesame
chicken.
What the fuck is this? Like, literally, they were like, this isn't our food.
How do you prepare this the same way in your land? I don't prepare it.
No, they were like confused. They were like, what is this? And they're like, it's Chinese food. And they're like, literally Chinese. And they're like, this is not what we eat.
Which I do love a P.F. Chang's. Haven't had it in years, but I do love a P.F. Chang's. But yeah, I mean, like, what?
Why do people do that? Do not. That's just my rule of thumb. When someone is visiting from another culture, don't take them to their food. They have their food. They do it the right way.
Well,
right. So either ask what was their type of cuisine your team likes that you'd like to try, or just pick a nice restaurant that's just an objective across the board restaurant. Do not try to bring global things. We want to show you the real American experience. Let's go to
Applebee's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chili's.
Yeah, nothing Chili's in
that.
The airport.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing
wrong.
Sure shout
five,
out to Chili's.
Chili's too.
four to six.
Yeah,
Brutus.
Chili's
two for one Brutus time. Please. But no, there's, I mean, those things happen across
they
the
do.
Board on like, you know, women, you know, we need a woman for this.
So
we have a
gosh.
Woman candidate. And so we, oh, it's an all male team. Should we have a woman from some other function come and interview them just to, what?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. So, you know, about last season when we did Dave Ramsey's spousal mm-hmm, dinner, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The amount of DMs we received in the HR Besties pod and my personal DMs on Humorous Resources, well, I guess they're not personal, but was, oh, yeah, I we did that too for this company or, you know, and a lot of times it was women for these high-level positions that they had to invite their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no,
cringe.
Absolutely not. My husband would be like, fuck no, I ain't going.
Yeah. The meal interview is such a, I get so stressed out because I get shit on my shirt. Like,
oh, yeah, y'all saw me last night.
Yeah, it's true.
Drops.
But anyway, so that was, so thank you for that. That story. I'm sorry for that experience. And I hope that is not your current CHR. I'm going to assume not.
Crossing fingers.
Yeah.
But don't we love a little hot gossip from the water cooler? So keep those stories coming, people, because we would love to share those, whether on the podcast or on our social at HR Besties Pod. Please follow, like, share, all of that fun stuff. But thank you so much, HR Bestie, for sharing that.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go ahead and dive into our meeting for today. Let me do a quick run through of the agenda. So we will start with our typical cringe corporate speak, and Jamie is on the agenda for that one. So she is the owner for that today. And then we'll transition into our hot topic, which is all about toxic leadership, which is definitely a fun topic for me personally. I talk a lot about toxicity in the workplace on my HR manifestos, but all things toxic leadership will be the hot topic. And then, of course, we will close out our meeting, as we always do, with some questions and comments.
Yes.
So, Jamie, kick us off.
So our cringe corporate speak for today is chain of command. Yeah, and I think... it's not necessarily what it is, it's the way it's used. So it's writing people up for not following the proper chain of command. And it's like, is chain of command another military phrase? And so what chain of command means, right, is if I'm your boss and you one-up me. But truthfully, if you need to, by all means, please do. And maybe I'm different in that aspect, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on chain of command?
Yeah, well, there's just another military reference to your point, and well, something
we're
that
not at war,
right? And something that you could think of maybe stereotypically as very masculine as well, right? And like kind of this more aggressive language in the workplace, you know. And so that always is ick to me, you know, because there is like this lack of inclusivity in a way when some of those some of those particular cringe corporate speaks come out. But again, you know, corporate, although it is tough, we are not on the front lines. We are not at war. Hopefully not. We're about to talk about toxic bosses.
We are in the HR trenches.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, and that's another one. We're in the trenches. Right. Oh my gosh.
I'm guilty of saying that.
But it can feel like that, you know, but that one, it does have some of that ick there, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, I agree. I think it's the way, using the military reference, but the way it's used, because it generally means, you know, you talking to, you know, someone's boss, or you talking to someone else. And I think there is a human instinct that if someone reports to you and they have a concern or they have a question, like, you want them to come to you. And if they go to someone else, I think it can feel on that human aspect, like, why wouldn't they come to me? And so some of that as a manager, and why it's really important to enlighten to managers, and we'll get into this with toxic leadership, but is this idea of opening those conversations and being proactive and showing employees that they can bring. Because if someone's not bringing that to you, that might mean that they feel like they can't. Other times, someone just might be convenient. But so just reminding managers as well and meeting them where they are to say, like, oh, you may have questions, but just make sure that you are approachable and know that if people are comfortable going to others in the organization, that's a good thing for the organization, because that means that they know who people are and they think that that person will also be a resource. But if you as a manager don't like that and want someone to come to you, then be a resource for them and be approachable, and maybe they'll be more likely to.
Yeah, and I don't think it necessarily is a bad thing if you go one above me. Mm-mm. Maybe let's say I'm out of the office or I'm busy with something and you want an answer or you need an answer right then. Like I think it's sometimes I feel like it's a little petty.
Yeah.
When someone's like, "Well, you didn't." Now, if it's something that's habitual that you're constantly skipped, then you probably need to have a conversation with your direct report.
I do think, and maybe this will just lend right into the toxic leadership point, but I think some of this is if someone, you know, if you someone on your team reports to you and they want to set up a meeting with a boss above you and they're not having that conversation with you, I do think it can be odd. If it's just like a work meeting, like, give me, and so there are people in the workplace that I think don't realize that. And they think like, I can, it's helpful for you as an employee to let your boss know if you have concerns about your boss and that's why you're having that conversation completely differently. But if it's a general like career conversation, like I'd love to have this. And so we'll talk a bit about skip level meetings. And what that is your employees meeting with your boss or your boss's boss, but people meeting, and that skip level is kind of a corny like skip-o, you know, card game. But it can be a good thing. But for managers, frequently they get defensive. Well, what's this person going to say to my boss? Let me, what are you going to say? Like, why do you need to talk to them? Like, you should be coming to me on these things. And so it goes with that chain of command, but it's making that experience all about you as a manager and how you're perceived. But in healthy organizations and departments, it is a great thing for you as a manager to proactively set those times up. It's probably not going to be every week. Maybe it's once a quarter. Maybe it's, you know, whatever that looks like. But setting your employees up for that and encouraging them, hey, you know, you have that conversation however you want. If it's helpful for me, I can help you think of some topics or we can talk about them so you feel prepared for that conversation. But use me however I'm a resource. Can you imagine having a boss say those things to you and how different that would be than your boss finding out you have this and they're coming in on?
And I think it's good, though, for those one-up managers just go ahead and schedule those skip meetings themselves. Mm-hmm. Get a pulse. It doesn't have to be a pulse of how your manager's doing. It's more of a pulse of how the employees are doing that are ultimately under you. I know at my last company, my one-up did that, and I really appreciate it. We had monthly check-ins. And it was never about my boss. It was just about my job and what I was doing and what I could do. And I really appreciated that time with her.
Yeah, I think it's really important to be mindful, though, of the language that's occurring in your organization, right? And just really thinking about that, right? So if you are hearing, you know, these sort of command control, chain of command, sort of, you know, cringy corporate speaks, it's probably a great indication that you're in a hierarchical organization, a command control, like I said, organization. It's probably a seniority-based organization versus a meritocracy. Like all these common phrases that are happening in your organization can give you some real insight into what you're dealing with from a cultural perspective, right? And, you know, perhaps perhaps an indication whether it's toxic or not, right? Yeah. Or whether there's some red flags there, you know, or whether it's a fit for you even, you know I mean?
One organization that I loved dearly, but we would get a carabiner, like a hiking tool with cards, with tons of cards, with all the corporate speak and definition on it of like to use so that you could bring that into your vernacular.
Oh my God.
My best leaders would be like, don't worry.
I am snarling right now.
I think the goal of those things sometimes is to like get people having a communication. But the problem of that is, to Lee's point, is you have these hierarchical where like the senior leaders use a phrase so everyone feels like to advance, they have to use this phrase. It's the parroting, but it can create really inauthentic leaders, and you're completely doing the opposite of what you're trying to do by like giving this common voice. Well, now you have a same voice. And so, you know, having people talk in more real language.
What if you could have an employment law sidekick there to answer questions about the laws in every state in an instant, all created by a team of lawyers that's always available without an eye-popping legal bill? You can have it. It's $650. In HR, compliance is the pesky paperwork that's always on our to-do list, and it's needed, but it's so hard. 650 takes care of your legal questions, so you can take care of your people. Tackling multi-state compliance can feel like a battle, but with 650, it's a walk in the park. They can answer your state law questions, create your agreements and offer letters, and have tools like a 50-state employee handbook builder that keeps you ahead, all while saving you time and money. Plus, their alerts integrate directly into your documents, keeping you constantly updated and in the loop. Now, all you HR pros, streamline your multi-state compliance with ease. Visit 650.com/besties. It's SIXFIFTY.com/besties and see how 650 makes compliance less complicated.
So transitioning into our hot topic of all things toxic bosses and toxic leadership, you know, if you've seen my HR manifesto, that really is my specialty, right? That is the core focus of my content. I call myself and my followers toxic workplace survivors. I'm all about helping people leave their toxic jobs for ones they'll love. So unfortunately, and maybe a little fortunately, I've learned a lot, I guess, through trauma. You know, I've been in a handful of toxic work environments, and that's because of what I do as an HR professional, right? So what differentiates me in HR is that I love to unravel corporate spaghetti. I'm very highly strategic and futuristic. And so I'm always that one that's like dispatched into something messy, M&A, integration, acquisition, reorg, whatever, to then, you know, make it normal, right? Air quotes, to just try and work through some of that corporate chaos. And so naturally, I'm going to gravitate to that, or I've been promoted into those types of roles. So yes, I've experienced a lot of toxic workplaces, but those workplaces are toxic because a lot of those leaders are toxic. You know what I mean? And so again, there is this trickle-down effect there. But what I have seen is that it's real. Right. So whatever you are feeling, it is real. You know, if you are feeling uncomfortable, or you are feeling hurt and burned out and stressed out and anxiety and those Sunday scaries in the case of the Mondays, and you're dreading work and even waking up in the morning, all of that is valid. And that is real. And you should be listening to yourself on that, because you probably are in a place that it does not suit you and may not value you. And it's very, very uncomfortable, and it legitimately hurts, right? And so I coach a lot of folks, and the PTSD is real from toxic bosses.
Yeah.
And having a toxic boss can fundamentally change who you are as a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, some situations have been so toxic, and the conversations that I've had, multiple people talking about wanting to unalive themselves because of their experience with their toxic boss. So this is something to take very, very seriously. And especially in HR, you know, we are advocates of the people, and we are coaches of managers, and we should lean in as much as we possibly can and help those bosses get where we need them to be for our workplace and support our people.
To have to for the data on that, UKG had done a study on their research arm about beginning of 2023, and that research study came out and showed that your direct manager can have more impact on your health than your doctor or your therapist. It's roughly on par with your partner or spouse if you're partnered. And so to Lee's point, it's absolutely. And why is that? Well, think about it. Like it impacts so much from depending on your schedule, your Sunday nights or whatever that is, and that experience, and it takes up so much of your working hours. And so, the negative aspect or the positive side. When you have those, where you have that manager that supports you and validates you and gives you not just, permission, but support to be present and take that time for your personal needs and achieve your goals and is invested in your success, that impact on your health and what that can look like for your sleep generally is so the flip side of toxic leadership is there's a real value. It's not just survival. It is thriving and ways that you can help people thrive at work.
Yeah. You know what is really interesting? I know that we have a very global audience, right? We do. But I oftentimes think this is a relatively unique American experience, right? And what I mean by that, and maybe insight for, those outside of the U.S., if you don't already know this from just watching TikToks and being on the socials, is that there is this fear in the U.S. workplace. I've always felt that personally, right? Anytime you have an ad hoc meeting with the boss, they schedule, you think you're getting fired.
Yeah.
You just do, right? There's a lot of anxiety about that. I mean, tons of anxiety. And a lot of that is because, there it is. One person can take you out for literally no reason. I mean, there's like no job protections here.
Right.
And
there's
rarely severances or, anything like that. And so they can just fire you. And when you look at, the statistics, in the U.S. when it comes to, people living one paycheck away, from literally poverty, right? Mm-hmm. Or so many below the poverty line. I mean, they are so dependent on that job, right? And so what's happening because of that fear and that lack of social support or systems or healthcare or whatever it is, or employment protections or whatever, is that it is very easy then for workers to be exploited, especially in the U.S., taken advantage of, pushed to the limits, because there's really nothing you can do. And you will take it. You will take the pain and you will take the punishment because you have a house payment and you're in credit card debt and your student loans are, through the roof, and you have kiddos to feed and you need to eat yourself, right? But it's this whole kind of, I think, really existential about this, It's this whole real toxic system and ecosystem in the U.S., especially. Other places, of course, too, but it's what we know and what we're close to.
So when people have it, and it's the difference, it is, people will say, I have this boss. And I cannot believe, I thank God every day. And you are praying to a deity to get the experience that you deserve. And I am so lucky to have this. And if you flip it and say, what if everybody could have that work environment that they deserve? And there's some real basics. But
Well, and I think, Lee, you've mentioned this before, but I'm thankful for the toxic bosses that I have had, because I will never be that leader. And I will make sure that my employees always feel protected. And I want to make sure I'm taking care of my employees, and they're not, I've been physically ill going to work, like literally had to pull over on the side of the road and throw up. Not kidding. Because it was like that much anxiety. So it's happened twice in my career. And so it really does take such a mental toll on you. Emotionally, mentally, physically. And you're absolutely right. You feel like, you can't just quit because you've got bills and whatnot. So then it's like, well, I have to find another job. And then it's, oh, well, I'm taking off for another dentist appointment, in air quotes, to get an interview or whatnot. Or even, I've told a story before about one of the toxic bosses for me that I was passed over for promotion. And she hired her bestie, blah, blah, blah. But I ultimately ended up staying a little bit longer at that job, and about 2.5 years. And it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because of my husband and I were trying to have our second child. And unfortunately, we were having a lot of difficulty. And if I stayed at that job, I was going to be protected under FMLA. Mm. So I stayed. And luckily, we did get pregnant a few months later, after a year and a half of trying. And I stayed with that company because I knew that, first of all, I could do that job in my sleep. But two, I knew that I was going to be protected. And I know that's an American thing. But I knew that I was going to have to suffer through 9 whole months of that toxic boss to be protected by FMLA. And then when I came back, I decided to stay longer. I did look a little bit and I dabbled while I was out on maternity leave. But ultimately, I thought, you know, this is something I can go into on 3 hours of sleep and pump in the closet. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I knew the job so well. So I ended up staying at this toxic place for just shy of 5 years. But I think about that often. And luckily, you know, towards the tail end of it, I knew I was getting out. So there was a little bit of justice there for me. And I knew that this was only a temporary thing. But I feel like it really changed me as a person. There was months after that I felt like my body was almost repairing itself from the PTSD that it caused.
So as we think, so sometimes in these, you know, thinking about, okay, so what can you do if you're in HR and there's you see toxic leadership? And again, toxic can mean a lot of things. It's really important. Does that look like? Is that those leaders that are not self-aware? And they may be a leader on LinkedIn. They may be a voice people look at. They can, you know, put up a great post that's viral, but the actual experience of their employees is completely different. They don't know who their employees are. But if you're in HR, Lee, what would you think that someone could do as HR or in a leadership team meeting, like a practical, to try to address that aspect of toxic leadership?
Well, this is what's interesting, right? And this is one of those kind of warning, danger sort of things, because HR professionals are employees too. We get fired as well. I've been fired for standing up for what's right, for trying to coach the toxic out of leaders, right?
Yes.
So we get fired too. And so it does take a lot of courage and a lot of bravery to do the right thing. Doing the right thing isn't easy. We know that. And you define for yourself what the right thing is, right? For me, it's to call someone to the floor on their behavior and to do all I can to coach them. Sometimes they are not open to that. You know, I had a very toxic leader back in the day, literally a sociopathic narcissist. So, wow, like that's really hard. That's going to be really hard for someone like me, you know, to coach and get through to. But when you have someone that you're working with that doesn't feel literally like serial killer level feeling or lack of feeling is a better way to say it. Sometimes coaching is futile. Sometimes it is completely impossible. It really, really is. And so as much as you try, you may not be successful as HR, but the important thing is to try. That's my position, because I'm very much so a people first focused HR advocate and professional. And so I'm going to do anything and everything I possibly can to try and affect that leader as much as I can and have an impact on that toxic leader to help shift and change their behaviors as much as I possibly can. And again, that's kind of holding that mirror. It's kind of like, how did that feel, right? It's all those sorts of things, not the how dare you, blah, 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 right? But really that kind of more traditional coaching to try and build that relationship with them, get that credibility with them, first and foremost, that trust. So then hopefully that they can listen to me and be influenced by me, you know, so I can help shift that behavior. Now, if they are truly toxic, I'm going to do all I can to fire them from that organization because they are hopefully not a fit in that organization because they are so freaking toxic. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to address that. I'm not going to be sweeping things under the rug. And again, that takes a lot of courage, especially if it's a higher level leader. And you may or may not be successful, but you're doing all you can to hopefully at least put them, you know, in the spotlight a little bit. Hopefully they dial back on some of those toxic behaviors. But I think honesty is respect and respect is honesty. And we got to do all we can in HR, you know, to fight for the employee experience.
I think a lot of this is that education piece. Again, there are groups of leaders that are, they're egotistical, mm-hmm. and they won't listen. There's also ones that don't know better. A lot of those, you know, some may be newer, some may have been managers for a while, and they don't think they have that ego. And that ego really is a human characteristic. And so, you know, people that have this C-level title, you think, well, everyone respects this, so people should respect me. One of the things you see is when like a leader is coming to town, like at a plant or at a facility, what I'll say, people spend all of their time getting it ready and putting it up for that person. And so one thing that I think that a true leader can do is to proactively say to that team, say, please do not do anything differently for when I'm coming. I want to see things. And if things are array or there's things that I want to dig into those because I don't want this to be a one-day experience. This is a constant experience. Mm-hmm. And so please don't spend your time or have people working late at night to prepare for my VP's coming to town, my director's coming to town. Like, no. Show me. Because if there's things you're having a challenge with and they're not working on a day-to-day basis, like don't band-aid it for me. Like let's talk about those and figure out what we can do. And so it's that level of education, because often that VP, that director, that C level has no idea the hours that people are working to get shit ready for them to come and make it perfect. And the fear that a lot of people are bringing to that, oh, what's going to get jacked up? Are we going to get in trouble after this? And so if you do it, and instead the leader's saying, show me things how they are, let's figure out. And also to someone there, who's someone or a couple people that should have recognition while they're there, that they've done something. And so that leader comes to town, and instead of it being a fear-based experience, you have someone maybe that's worked there for 34 years that doesn't really get that much kudos, is just a really reliable member of the team. And you have the C-letter leader saying, I wanted to find out, and I heard that you do these things, that person, they're going to go home. They're going to tell their family, their grandkids. I mean, that will be probably one of the top moments of their career. So you can take the fear and turn that into something really good. And that's something I'm really passionate about, organizations thinking differently.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned this before, but really leadership is all about how you make people feel. And so you can be a great leader or you can be a toxic leader. You're making people feel something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So from a toxic leadership perspective, you know, for me, a toxic leader is someone that you see using a lot of manipulation in the workplace, gaslighting, lying, backstabbing, throwing people under the bus. You know, folks that are very unapproachable, that don't listen. They're not, you know, asking for people's ideas. They shut people down. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of characteristics, you know, on what kind of, you know, defines toxicity in the workplace or a toxic leader more specifically. That is like one of the key questions that I'm asked. But to me, again, me getting existential, like such a nerd, you know, the concept of toxic leadership or, you know, a toxic workplace is actually incredibly subjective. And so I get asked, what is toxic? What's a toxic workplace? What's a toxic leader? And I was like, well, what is that to you? Because what someone's, you know, toxic workplace, you know, whatever the toxic workplace is to someone, is actually somebody else's playground. They freaking love it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, they freaking thrive on it. It's not toxic to them. And so it's a very personal experience. And that's why I shared earlier, whatever you are feeling is completely valid, right? And so trust your gut on that. Trust those parade of red flags that you see. It's very subjective. You don't need me or Ashley or Jamie answering, you know, to you, what is subjective? What is toxic? Because it's so subjective. If it feels ick and it feels wrong and it doesn't feel right to you, well, then that hurts and that's toxic and that's totally valid. You know, it doesn't have to be this profound, you know, thing, right? If just whatever is bothering you, you don't feel the fit in the organization. And so that's what I always find fascinating is the definition of what is toxic. It's your own personal definition, but just know that you may be sitting next to someone who actually enjoys that culture. They're having a different experience in
Jamie.
It, you know? Yeah, Jamie loves that toxic shit. You know what I mean?
I do not love toxic shit.
cleaning it up.
Yes.
Yeah, she does love cleaning up.
I do love to clean up a mess.
I have to tell you a little secret. I've always been super self-conscious about my thin hair until I started using Vegamore. I always try to do the right thing by my body, so when it comes to my hair and scalp health, finding a product that actually works and is made with clean ingredients always seems like a trade-off. But with Vegamore, I get products that are made with clean ingredients and give me visibly healthier hair and scalp. I'm able to have visibly fuller, thicker, shinier, and longer hair without all the harsh ingredients. In every cute pink bottle of Vegamore, products are 100% cruelty-free and never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. What's even better is Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials Kit, you get to try more than one amazing product at a great savings. When you sign up for the monthly subscription, you save more and you never run low on products you need to take care of your hair. The key, obviously, is consistency in your routine for your most beautiful, healthy-looking hair. I use Vegamore Grow Hair Serum daily on my hair and scalp, and they are flourishing. I also opted for the Grow Origins Kit as well with the Brow and Lash Serum because I'm trying to get like Bestie Lee's eyelash status. Also, I don't know about you guys, but I can tell you my brows have still not recovered since the late 90s over tweezing. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. So give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, HR Bestie listeners are getting 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/besties. Use code besties at checkout. That's Vegamore, vegamore.com/besties, code besties, to save 20% off your first order. That's vegamore.com/besties, code besties.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And some of us wear our emotions on our sleeve, and some of us not so much. But regardless, when we keep all of those stressors bottled up, it can start to affect us and those around us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. Now, this is especially important for those besties out there that work in HR or perhaps are a people leader, manager, boss, because people be people, and don't they? They really do. And so you need to make sure you have an outlet to share so that you can thrive. If you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, so it's completely designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/HRBesties today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HRBesties. Stay well, besties.
Toxic for me is really not spending time like proactively. So you always where you do feel like you're a burden to someone. you know, asking them the questions and feeling like that, like, you know, trying to look to them as a resource and like that you just, you feel so feeling very alone and not sure where to get the answers. I think that level of feeling for me, and then also like the really like hierarchical. I mean, mm-hmm. literally the phrase mm-hmm. like I'm an executive.
The chain of command.
Yeah, it is the chain. It is. I mean, that chain of command, but it is. It's this level that people think because they have the big salary and they have this and they, you know, they have that, like, fantastic. So good. Mm-hmm. And, but then what are you doing for others to bring others up? And what kind of experience are you creating others? And it really is just wild to me. Some of these people that just have no fucking regard for other people and mm-hmm. their, and what that looks like yeah. from their day-to-day experience. And so, I mean, again, one of the silver linings that I had to, you know, growing up and having experiences, seeing, you know, my parents finishing college while I'm in elementary school, and you know, money was a very real topic in our household, and me working at, you know, Sears in the electronics department, not fancy like HR, but was seeing like the levels of like just taking people for granted, and that you can do with them what they like. They are a number on a spreadsheet. And me, that's probably the biggest, is not thinking about them as real people who have mm-hmm. very real lives.
Yeah, for me, you know, the toxic leaders that I have, and again, I've had a handful in my career, unfortunately, they were toxic to me. Again, toxic is very subjective. They were toxic to me because they made me feel as though I wasn't good enough. And that's a lie. They made me feel that being me wasn't a good thing, right? And when I reflect on all of those, I realize now, like, oh, that one was threatened, or that one, you know, thought that I had, you know, a unique skill they wish they had. I mean, you can reflect and you can kind of connect dots, you know, all the ways they do the projection. You know, I had one of my toxic bosses tell me that you're too smart, and that makes me feel bad about myself. Right. I mean, so very open about it. You know what I mean?
Like, let's just go to trivia night.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate your honesty.
I know.
Question mark.
Right. I had another one tell me that you need to mute yourself in this meeting, and not, and it was a live meeting, not a Zoom meeting, but they just said, you're too much. And I mean, I remember I told that guy, no, you're not enough. You know what I mean? So I'm very much that person. You know, I had another toxic boss tell me, nobody wants to work with you, and you've made no impact on this business. And it's like, that is the absolute biggest crock of shit. No one in my whole life has ever given me any feedback like that. That is projection. What I literally heard was her saying, no one wants to work with her, which is true. and she's made no impact on the business, which is also true, right? So it's like all of these different examples in my career, when I've had what I deem to be a toxic boss, were people that, you know, made me feel like I wasn't good, or I wasn't good enough, mm-hmm. or I could not be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to ever be, was be transparently, authentically me. And now I'm having a light bulb moment. That's the thing, is that I am very much like this person everywhere I am.
Same.
And so that I can see how, if people feel they have to put on the facade or they have to play a certain part, someone like me is going to piss them off. That's living like their real self.
Yeah. Because
this is, you all can vouch, this is literally me. This is me at work. This is me at home. This is me, you know? And so maybe that's really what it was, as I like reflect back. But that was definitely toxic to me, they're toxic to me. Toxic leader is someone that, you know, makes people feel like they're less than, and that they shouldn't be them.
Yep.
And man, people should be bringing their whole selves to the workplace, you know, and they should feel safe to do so.
Agreed.
All right. Well, gosh, all things toxic leadership. How exhausting is that? Talking about these cringy folks in the workplace that lack the self-esteem and competence. Ooh, but let's help our toxic leaders as much as we can, get them where we need them, which
detoxify.
Is either to detoxify. We need to get them where they need to be, which is either out on the street or, you know, in a better place from a leadership perspective. All right. So shifting into questions and comments, because I know we have a hard stop.
I have a comment.
Please.
Is a line that's always resonated with me is from the movie Frozen. which is that...
Let it go.
Well, that too. But is that people do bad things when they're mad or scared or stressed. I won't sing. And so... when you have, you know, toxic leadership or toxic situations or toxic colleagues at the workplace, the lingering question people often say is why? You may never know the why. But if you think about those three, and if someone's mad or scared or stressed, and I think the scared or stressed really happen in the workplace, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. as someone goes up the corporate ladder, up to and including CEO, chairman, board, people are often scared or stressed about their ego, how they'll be perceived, their money. And so when people retract like that, they can lash out in conversations and treat everybody else as trying to like mess with those things. And they have that sense of fear. And so you can sometimes use that to think about how to get someone's attention. You know, someone's scared about money. Okay, we'll talk about if you do these things, they have a better financial impact on the workplace. They're the right thing to do. But they're also financially better for you. Let me show you the data on that. But for your own self, is you can generally think if someone's being, you know, very toxic, is to peg to yourself, and you can probably imagine if they're mad or scared or stressed. So, mm-hmm. so thank you, Frozen.
Elsa, that shit, and let
Elsa,
it go.
Elsa, yeah.
I actually have a quote. When I mentioned hospitality, I worked for Marriott. For 4 years. And there's actually a Bill Marriott quote that has stuck with me all these years. And so I want to read it. Take good care of your employees and they'll take good care of your customers and the customers will keep coming back. And, you know, once again, in HR, our customers are the employees. And I think it always stuck with me because we want to take good care of our employees because we want them to trust us to come back again for their next issue. And like I said, you can take that however you want it. But as an HR professional, that's kind of how I always took it. And it's mm-hmm. always stuck with me all these years later.
That's a good one, Jamie. I like that. Not a question, but a quick comment. Leadership is not for everybody. It really isn't.
It really isn't.
It really isn't. And that's okay.
Yes.
You know, that's what I want. And that's okay. If you're listening to this and you're like, man, I hate people. I hate leading people. Am I a toxic boss? If you're asking yourself that question, you are. Okay.
You don't have to be, but you may make it happen.
Exactly. But it is okay to walk away from leadership. There are other ways to make money because just know as much as you hate being a leader, the people that report to you hate, loathe being led by you even more. And it's affecting them personally and, of course, professionally. And so please just know that, that there's all sorts of ways to make money. It's not just, being a manager. You should have this respect of the position of leading people. It's absolutely a privilege. So it is not for everyone. And that is okay. You know what I mean? But if you do want to be a leader, God, be a fucking good one. You know what I mean? Invest in it as much as you can. Invest in yourself. Raise your hand. Ask for that training. Read all you can. Be there for your people and just freaking kill it, you know? And they will thank you for it for the rest of their lives for how you made them feel. Ah, well, gosh, that is all things toxic leadership. Thank you so much, HR besties, for joining us in our staff meeting. God, we love you here at our table. Until next time, you take care and don't be toxic, please.